Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the VAT Group Q1 Results 2017 Trading Update conference call. I'm Milo, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Heinz Kundert, CEO of VAT Group, and Mr. Andreas Leutenegger, CFO. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Good morning. This is Heinz Kundert speaking from VAT. Welcome to the analyst conference on the Q1 2017. We'd like to give you some information on the results and also on the market situation. As you may have seen, our order intake and sales have significantly increased over the same period last year. In terms of order intake, the order intake increased by 35% over last quarter, and net sales increased almost 42% over last year's quarter. This is a very good result for the first quarter, and also reflects actually the health of the markets where we do most of our business. Order backlog is still high with 140 million due to this booming and bullish market situation in both in interconnectors as well as for flat panels. What were the main drivers? The main drivers in general is still the digitalization that is going around the world. With the Internet of Things, with Industry 4.0, and many other activities, as you pretty know well already. The hottest item that is recorded is 3D NAND. 3D NAND is mainly used for data storage. That means that data centers, they are buying 3D NAND, and there's still shortage because of the attractivity of 3D NAND for large volume of data storage. Still, data centers install old hard disks, although they actually wanted to go for 3D NAND, but due to shortage, they cannot do, and they start with hard disks and will replace them as soon as the availability of 3D NAND becomes much better. The other business that is at the moment booming is DRAM. DRAM is a volatile storage technology, as you may know. It's mainly driven by Samsung. Samsung is investing at the moment heavily into their expansion for DRAM, and that also leads to a high demand for semiconductor equipment. So the forecast for 2017 by market researchers is continuously increasing and will be at the end for semi equipment between 7 and even 16%. It's not 100% clear yet, but in any case, it will be a high growth in 2017 throughout the year. Also, what we here from our customers is that Q2 and 3 are doing fine, and one guy told me the Q4 is feeling nicely. So we can expect that the outlook that we have given, that means to grow 20% top line, 20% plus, can still be held. It's not only semiconductors, it's also OLED. That is booming at the moment due to, as we have reported several times, the OLED expansion, which is still continuing. The question is always, or was always, is this a very short hype in 2017, and then it falls down again to a lower level? As of today, we do not see any indication that there will be a slowdown, neither in 2017 nor in 2018. Some even say it holds far into 2019. So there's no risk of a deterioration of that business as well. So the big question is always coming along, when is the boom over? When is the turning point? And something everybody wants to know, including ourselves. All I can say is that talking to our customers' customers, That means the Samsungs, the Intels, and all these large manufacturers. There's absolutely no indication that there's going to be a slowdown in 2017, nor in 2018, nor beyond that. Of course, it's very difficult to tell you what is going on in 2019-20. Some analysts, they have some concerns in 2019. But again, these are kind of just precautions because sometime it will come down as far as the growth rate is concerned. It's not falling down to a very low level, but the growth might be diminished. But as I said, at the moment, there's absolutely no indication that they can give you that shows any kind of weakness of this industry, be that in semiconductors nor in flat panels, as far as the growth rate is concerned. We got nicely profit from this situation that has led to the good result in the Q1. And as I said, the outlook looks that we can hold up the given numbers. That's all for the moment I wanted to tell you, but I'm sure that you have a couple of questions. Please ask.
Operator, please.
The first question comes from Joern Iffert from UBS. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen, and thanks for taking my question. The first one would be if you look on your capacity planning running into 2018. As far as I understand and do model is that capacity at the moment is increasing by around 40-50% for 2017. To what extent can will or is you are you currently planning to expand your capacity in 2018? Will it be another 30-40%? Second question would be on the competitive environment. What have you observed here in the last couple of weeks and months? What are the MKS of this world doing? And do you see them to fight back, or do they see them to lose some market shares? And last question, I mean, I think you have indicated, but just to make sure, Q1 is the peak in the growth in 2017. So Q2, we already should expect a slowdown. Just to double check this. Thanks very much.
Andreas speaking, I'm answering the first question with regards to the capacity adjustment. We are on plan to ramp up and prepare for the second phase in Malaysia. This is on time. Just today we have a board meeting and we're discussing the next CapEx plans. I'm not disclosing any specific numbers in terms of capacity increase, but it will be sufficient to grow double digit number over the next couple of years. As you know, our capacities usually are built in a way of flexible, in a flexible way. That means if you have the building and the infrastructure, then the machinery inside can be adjusted according to the needs. So there we can ramp faster or slowly or, depending on the market developments. But we will build sufficient capacity for the next couple of years.
To your second question, I'm not sure whether I understood you correctly. You wanted to know our position versus our competition, our position versus competition. Of course, we cannot tell you what happened in the first quarter because it's not so easy to get these data, especially not from non-listed companies. But what I can tell you is that we have an analysis from VLSI, which is published, that we could gain market share approximately 2% overall. Our main competitors are still in the 50 millions. There's not much reaction on that, what we have seen. So compared to our competition, we could definitely hold up our market leadership and increase our market share, as I said, by 2%. This is the official data we have received from the LSI. The third question is whether we have reached the peak in Q1. I cannot tell you whether we have reached the peak. You have to see that over more than one quarter. Sometimes you have an overhang from the quarter before, and you have orders which have a delivery maybe of 2-3 months and are then moving over to the next quarter. But all I can say is the first quarter was a very strong quarter. Second one should also be good. The third one is then falling into vacation season, might be a little bit weaker. So overall, as we said, we want to hold up with the outlook that we have given, 20% plus, whatever the plus then means.
All right, thanks very much.
Next. The next question comes from Claudia Gnim, SDA. Please go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Kunert. Question concerning new jobs. I've read you add about 250 this year. Is this still the number? And how many do you want to add in Switzerland? And one point about your profits. You don't say anything about the profits in the first quarter, right?
Okay, we have in the first quarter we have added approximately 220 people.
Mm-hmm.
But I will not disclose and comment on the profitability during the first quarter.
Okay. And how many new jobs in Switzerland?
In Switzerland and abroad, that's about half-half.
Mm-hmm.
Half Switzerland, half abroad.
Okay. Many thanks.
And abroad is, maybe to comment here, abroad is mainly set a further ramp in Malaysia and also in Romania. We added significant capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Next question, please.
The next question comes from Michael Foet von Tobel. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Two questions. One regarding your current production capacity. What are the main bottlenecks that you currently have in your own production, and what are the bottlenecks in the supply chain? And following up on that is, could you actually deliver more if you had more capacity currently on hand? And the second question is. Could you give us some comments regarding the developments in China, both in terms of semiconductor and OLED plans or actual ramp ups that are happening in China? Thank you.
Okay, with regard to the capacity ramp. As you have given the answer already, we certainly have some constraints in the supply chain. That means also our suppliers are ramping right now significantly. We have 60% of our value add is outsourced, so also they need to ramp. The second thing is we should consider is also the product mix. We always said we have flexible capacity, but that depends very much on the product mix. So this had to be considered as well. So in a summary, we are at the high end in terms of production capacity, but we are not at the max. So we usually have, again, we have to look at the product series and by product. We have certain products where we have reached the limits, and we have some others where we have not reached the limits. So that's the answer I can give here.
Okay, second question. China. Indeed, China is a big expectation from everybody. There is indeed an investment subsidy of $100 billion that is going to be pushed into the market. However, that will not show any results before 2018. Still the question who gets the money and what is going to be done with the money. Nonetheless, China is building their capacity with foreign help. Most of the companies expanding in China are foreign companies. If you look at the only real Chinese company in the device sector, semiconductor device sector, it's SMIC. They do not well. They're not growing. They're not profitable. So the profitable companies are all controlled by foreign companies. And certainly the government wants to change that with the initiative that more Chinese companies are being built under Chinese leadership and Chinese investment. So that will take time if they ever will reach such a level. In flat panel, it looks a little bit different. In flat panel, we already have companies in China which are self-sustained. One of them is BOE, which is doing very well. They are expanding rapidly in OLED, so they want to really do OLED and become the main manufacturer of OLED devices manufactured in China by Chinese companies. So what does it mean for us? It means that we have to work with those companies which make the decision for equipment in China, such as in flat panel BOE, as I said. In case of semiconductors, it's still the traditional equipment suppliers like Lam, Applied, Tel, and the like who sell more than 90% of the demand in China from their facilities, be that from the United States, but also increasingly from Asia. This is in Korea, in Taiwan, and also from Singapore.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Sebastian Kühne from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. I have two main questions. One is the capacity ramp-up in Malaysia. I think you have one large building there, but you have space for maybe two or three more facilities. If you go at your current rate, when do you think you will actually add new buildings there, or is that already in your plan? And then on pricing and margins, given that the demand for your equipment is so high, do you see any changes in the pricing levels in the markets that you can maybe then also sustain in future, so that you have a higher margin level, sustainable margin level in future? So what is what you observe there in terms of pricing? And then maybe one final question is on the costs for ramp-up. Could you maybe quantify these costs for this year? If you compared it to, let's say, a flat revenue year, how much incremental training and setup costs will you have this year? Thank you very much.
Okay, I will answer the first and the last question. First one is Malaysia. Our plan right now is to, you're right, we have some land available with one building. And our plan would be that the next expansion would not be a mirroring or an expansion by phases, but that we did the building and the infrastructure, we would build it this year, the full utilizing the full space we have, and then the machinery, the equipment we will install and buy over time. Maybe to give you a hint, if we would utilize the full space in Malaysia, fully equipped, that would give us several hundreds, or maybe it's about 300 millions of additional revenues. So not as originally planned, doing by phases, but that means the building infrastructure, do it at one time, the full, and then the machinery as we go, as the business grows. And the last question, I will not disclose specific ramp-up costs by digits or millions. That's on one hand, I don't want to be open, and second one, that's also not so easy to calculate. Of course, we have some numbers, but you know, this is always a mixture of various costs and benefits in such an exercise.
Okay.
Second question on pricing. Of course, it's clear at the moment it's not the time to give discounts. That's for sure. On the other side, with the big customers, we have long-term agreements, and we have to hold up these agreements. Of course, we have areas where we also increase prices, or we discontinue products with low margins, replace them by something else. We have a very close look to the situation on the price level to increase the margin, as we do on the cost side.
Next question, please.
The next question comes from Remo Rosenau from Neue Helvetische Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I think at the full year conference, you said that the strong growth in demand in displays, flat panels, so far is mainly still based only on the ramp up at your customer base on the smartphones, not yet on tablets and not to speak of TV screens and stuff. Now, when you said before that you get no indication from your customers that growth will really slow down dramatically in 2018 and 19, also in the display business, is this based on the assumption that the ramp up will also take place then in tablets and TV screens, or is this just still on the smartphone ramp up?
I don't know too much about tablets, but of course tablets are closer to the smartphone than big TVs. For big TVs, you need Gen 10.5, which is now going to be introduced. That's, by the way, another growth factor to build a really big substrate. The substrate then has a size of 10 square meters, where the necessary TV sizes are then being cut out by laser. At the moment, we still talk about mainly smartphones. And the next level might be, this decision has not been taken by companies like Apple, the tablets. I'm pretty sure that the tablets will also be equipped with OLED sooner or later, but I don't know exactly what portion of the entire market this is going to be. So definitely the next the capacity is reached, actually, at least the forecast says so, for smartphones by 2019. That means we're going to have installations for smartphones into 2019. That's one of the reasons why 2018 might not be a slowdown. In parallel, there's going to be the Gen 10.5 that is being built up in 2018, and I guess that some of them will also provide TVs. You may know that Samsung has not decided to go into OLED. They're still selling their quantum dot technology, which is actually not a new technology. It's just the refined technology of the AMLCD, so the active matrix crystal displays. Samsung would, of course, decide to go into OLED for TVs, this would be an additional push. So that's all I can say for the moment. We have seen data from some companies very close to Samsung, and they just show that 18 and even 19 is growing. Just take it like that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
The next question comes from Varun Raivanshi from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking me on the question. This is Hannes Leitner from JP Morgan. I have two questions, please. The first one is on pricing. You mentioned a couple of new valves, the butterfly control valve and the L-shaped valve. What is the typical price increase, what you have for those valves compared to the previous version? And then my second question is on dividends. Do you have already some estimate for this year and for next year? Is it going back to the IPO announced free cash flow of equity ratio, or is it a fixed increase from this year? Thank you.
Let me answer the first question, and the CFO gives you answer on the second one. The pricing for new products, you cannot compare a new product with an old one because the functionality is totally different. It can be more expensive with a higher functionality. It can be less expensive with a lower functionality or cost savings or whatever. More important for us is that the margins for new products is high enough to be in line with our profitability expectations, and they are.
As a follow up, if I may, Let's phrase it differently. If you look at your growth rate, how much is the capacity expansion of the old product and how much is then kind of the average ASP increase?
We do not have these numbers right now.
That leads me to the second question. Dividend policy, there's no change in our dividend policy. The dividend policy will remain as it is. That means up to 100% of free cash flow to equity will be paid to the shareholders as long as net debt to EBITDA is around one times.
Okay, I think it seems that there are no more questions.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Sebastian Kühne from Berenberg.
Okay.
Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, sorry, I have one more follow-up from my side. You mentioned that you reach near capacity for some of your products. Are you running into situations where you get an order from clients, but you have to say, well, delivery is not in the next 3 weeks, but maybe in 2 months' time, so that your lead times for some of these products are expanding? And then, as a conclusion, are you running into a situation where you have to prioritize some of the clients?
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Both question, yes, yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Gentlemen, that was the last question.
Again, thank you very much for joining this conference call this morning and wish you a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.